This is the face of the franchise, JC and Ricky, bringing you all the latest and greatest crap. Listen, I have some advice for you people just coming out into the workforce. Don't get into podcasting. You make $0, literally $0. I drove from my house an hour to get here. It's going to cost me gas money. Okay, I'm not going to... $0. Unless you... Never mind. $0. Jim and Ricky, you hear that? $0. It's not changing anything. I'll see you next week. Maybe I won't see you next week. You know what? Screw this. It's free. This is a nonprofit. It's like donating my time to a nonprofit. But I'm not getting any satisfaction. You go help a kid, you know that you get satisfaction. I'm sitting in a room with two ugly dudes right now, doing intros to a podcast for $0. I don't know where I ended up in life, but okay. Just get started. Nope. You know what? GoFundMe. I'm going to start a GoFundMe. I'm not even going to lie. I just want the money. I'm not going to benefit anything from it, like vacations and stuff I can't afford to do because they don't pay me any freaking money. Is this too long? I don't care. All right, I'll have that GoFundMe address for you later. I got somebody smart enough to help me set the freaking thing up. All right. I mean, a homeless dude got $500,000 to help a girl with gas, and they took it back from her. You don't do that either. That's shitty. All right. That's my soapbox, and I'm crawling off of it. I'm done. Seriously, I'm done. You can cut my music. This is not even the music that we agreed to. All right.
Dude, we should really stop
That's
playing
those. That's my head against the wall right now. I don't even get snacks.
He does not even get snacks, but ladies and gentlemen, that is the face of the franchise. You know, he's done so many solid intros for us, Rick. We do have to periodically give him that opportunity to vent. He did this about a year or so ago.
He did.
It's a good opportunity to do it again. And Face, we appreciate you. I appreciate you. I don't know about Ricky, but I appreciate you.
Whoa. All of a sudden, it's just you. It's not we. Of course, we appreciate
All right,
him.
Thank you. I'm not going to speak for you. We don't always agree on everything.
That.
You talk for yourself, you know?
Well, I appreciate the face of the franchise.
I appreciate him as well.
We do. Now, I'm calling BS because when we recorded these, he at the end, he said he doesn't even get snacks. You know what? He's right. He didn't get snacks. He got a full barbecue dinner. He had ribs.
That's right.
He had steaks. He had beers.
And that's the way you do it, let me tell you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC. That's Ricky Baez with too many post-nominals to list. They would take up the rest of the show. Thank you for returning. It's our pleasure to be here for you. Big kudos going out to all the new listeners. Special shout-out to Jennifer Hassey. You're friggin' awesome. You got some great stuff going on. Looking forward to... your speech at Disrupt Buffalo. It was a pleasure meeting you the other day. Rick, any special thank yous or shout outs to people you want to give right now?
No, now that you mentioned Disrupt HR, which is it's less than a week away, brother, for Disrupt HR Orlando Lucky Number 7.0.
Man, I wish I was going to be down there. That was such a good time. You guys do it so good. You really do. I was watching some of the clips again today when HR Talk and the Face tweeted out that it was a retweet. It was a tweet again, rather, of Nuri Allers talking about the monkey and the monster on your back. Yeah, yeah. The podcast put that out earlier today. I was excited. I played it and I laughed. That was fantastic. You know,
that was such a good one. That was, yes.
I really want to have her on the show still, too.
We haven't we?
No, we said we were going to do it. Then it became a new year. She got busy. We got busy. It never happened. We need to have her on, man.
Yeah, we do got to bring.
You know what that means?
We have to make that happen.
Procrastination.
Yes, it does.
Watch her piece. Procrastinators.
Yes. So actually, she was, well, she's been on the show, but not as a guest. She was in the hot seat during the red carpet event we did for Disrupt HR Orlando. And that was fun. I really enjoyed all the hustle and bustle in the networking area. And then people who really just had the cojones to sit in the hot seat and answer whatever questions you threw at them. That was awesome.
Hey, check this out. While I was meeting with the Disrupt HR Buffalo people yesterday, or Disrupt Buffalo HR, I don't know how that goes. Disrupt HR Buffalo. Yeah, so I'm sitting down talking with them, and they asked Rick. They came right out. They said, is Ricky going to be there? Is the podcast coming? And when I told them that you couldn't make it, they were very, very sad. So
they cried?
Just single tears. But I wanted to share that with you. You know, I mean, they're a little disappointed that you couldn't make it.
Well, I wish I could be there. I miss that area up there. I really do. I'm actually going to be in Puerto Rico when that happens.
I don't blame you. There's a better trip built in right there. Hey, I do have something very important for you. I need to play immediately. Ready?
Go.
You ever brought an emotional support clown? Fair question.
Yeah. It is a fair question. You know what? I haven't, but I'm starting to think about it now.
So this guy was going to be fired, and so he hired a $200 an hour clown to come with him to his firing just to help him ease the pain.
There he is.
He did, but I think, you know what, in a way it might have backfired because they said when the clown was making those balloon animals, it was making too much noise. You know, it might have helped him feel better, but he was still fired. So, you know, maybe next time he'll bring an emotional support squirrel.
Well, yeah, I can get on board with the animals, but the clown, that's a stretch for me, Charles.
Really?
I gotta get the
well, it's no clown show.
I bet you if he brought an emotional support lion with him,
that would
the
work
boss would have said, okay, we'll give you another couple weeks to see if this can work.
Right. Get promoted.
Every day.
Emotional support clown. So a guy is set to get fired. How you know you're about to get fired is beyond me. You kind of know when it's going to happen, I guess.
Yeah, you kind of know. Yeah, depending on the policies. Well, it depends, right? Because if the managers have been writing you up progressively and you know that you've already got a verbal and a written and a final and you keep doing the same thing and all of a sudden there's this meeting in HR, you kind of know what's going to come down the pipe.
So have a lot of employees ever come to the table asking specifically to bring an emotional support clown or animal or anything like that with them for the moment? Talk to me. Well, how do you feel about this? This was in New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, before this episode, I don't think anybody had that idea. Post-episode, I don't know what kind of requests I'm going to get going forward there, JC. But here's... I just think it's hilarious. But this guy's about to get fired. He's about not to have a paycheck anymore and decides to spend $200 an hour to bring a clown.
Which, by the way, is a fantastic use of dollars.
Could you imagine? You're at work, and next thing you know, this clown is walking up and down the aisle making balloon animals.
All right, so this is coming from the Guardian.com. Everywhere. You're killing me. From theguardian.com, our clip there earlier was from Fox News, by the way. This here is from theguardian.com. If you think emotional support animals have got out of control, prepare yourself for the news of an emotional support clown. An Auckland, New Zealand advertising copywriter brought a clown to his redundancy meeting, as first reported in the New Zealand Herald on Friday. New Zealand legally requires employers to allow workers the option of bringing a support person to serious disciplinary meetings, usually relating to an employee's prospective dismissal. After FCB New Zealand lost a significant client and began layoffs, Josh Thompson, who had reportedly been with the company for 5 months, received an ominous email from his bosses that read, "Bad news, we're having a meeting to discuss your role."
Oh, they laid it up.
They laid it up. Yeah. I mean, that was like Shaquille O'Neal, like literally standing next to the hoop, you know, it's just you can't miss. So faced with the
text,
he's tall. He just stands by the hoop with his hand right there. You know,
that's it.
Yeah. Hey. Being fired sucks. So it's a great analogy. All right. So faced with the task of securing an appropriate support person for the potential tense meeting, Thompson, a comedian who performs under the name Joshua Jack. Hey, Josh Jack.
Whoa.
Feel free to look him up. I know nothing about comedian Joshua Jack. We'll try to find Rick. You try to find someone on Joshua Jack, comedian.
Yeah, I'm okay.
He said, "I thought it's best to bring in a professional, so I paid $200 to hire a clown. The clown, who Thompson refers to as quote Joe, end quote, crafted balloon animals throughout the meeting, including a poodle. His antics were squeaky, and Thompson's bosses had to request he quiet down several times." Awesome. Quote, "is further understood," reported the Herald, "that the clown mimed crying when the redundancy paperwork was handed over." this is great. A picture of the meeting taken through a boardroom's glass doors by an unknown spectator. Awesome. Is of comprised quality, though one can detect that Joe the Clown is wearing a colorful hat, that Thompson is leaning back in his chair, and he looks relaxed for someone getting laid off. Go ahead, Rick.
So the clown started crying.
Yes.
I'm just picturing that right now.
The clown is miming. You're right.
Oh, God, that is awesome. All right,
so Thompson, the employee, told Magic Talk Radio, quote, "I mean, I did get fired, but apart from that, it was all smooth running. Fortunately, Thompson will not be out of work for long." The Australian ad agency DDB confirmed Thompson's going to start a new role in their office next week. They don't say what role that will be. Wow. A lot going on, Rick.
Oh, man. I would give anything just to be in that room and just watch that back and forth, and just the clown just mimicking everything and just crying, making balloon animals. That's great. Okay, so here's where I start. This is in New Zealand. This is not in the United States, obviously.
Is there a Sherm chapter there?
And I don't know. I'm sure they do. Sherm is worldwide. But here's the thing. It's in the United States, when it comes to unions and the NLRA, the National Labor Relations Act, and the National Labor Relations Board, there's a thing called the Weingarten Act. And what that is that in a unionized environment, if there is a union member who is being called into an investigatory meeting that may or may not result in disciplinary action, the Weingarten Act says that they are able to bring a representative with them. But that is in the United States, right?
But it's got nothing to do with ADA. It's not saying what representative. You could bring anyone. You could bring your own clown.
Yeah, but this is an emotional support clown. Has got nothing to do with unions. This is more of an ADA thing, right? Because it is an emotional support.
You do have a great point there, man. You really do.
Yeah. So now,
by the way, while we talk about this, I really hope the Megan Woodney, Disrupt HR Auckland organizer, Megan Woodney.
Okay,
and that's at CO Hired, Megan Woodney. Love to hear some feedback on this story in your neck of the woods, by the way. So, Rick, you're saying that utilization of an emotional support clown in the U.S. could be feasible under ADA.
No, I'm not saying it could be feasible. Under ADA, obviously, you have to engage in the dynamic dialogue to see what do you need for emotional support. I don't know if a clown will qualify. I don't know if another human being another human being would qualify, right? Because if somebody's deaf or they're mute and they need somebody to do sign language to keep the conversation going, then that is another human being, right? But for a clown, for emotional support, I just don't know. I've never seen that situation. I would have to talk it through to see if that's something we can do. But
what if it was an animal?
In this case, let's say we approved it, an emotional support clown. This clown literally, pun intended, was walking up and down the aisles making balloon animals and then disrupting the operation. So, yeah, I guess I would say no.
But it's part of what he does to calm the fears of the person who brought him.
By annoying everybody else in the office? That's not a good
return. Yes, it made him feel better.
It made him feel better to annoy everybody else in the office.
No, he was making the squeaky balloon animals in the meeting while he was being fired. So it distracted the people telling him you're gone. You know?
Holy shit. That is awesome. Right, actually, so I found the picture of the guy.
Ricky, what about snakes? Yeah. What about squirrels? What about dogs? What about emotional support animals in these instances in the U.S.?
So it's a tough question to answer without the dynamic dialogue. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. No, it's not yes or no.
Okay, let's dynamically talk about this.
Okay, let's go ahead.
You're going to fire me.
Let's act that out.
You want it? Okay, go ahead. Tell me what you want to tell me real quick about our upcoming meeting.
No, well, JC, we're about to have a meeting for whatever reason. Wait, you have to ask me. You have to say I need an emotional support something. Go ahead.
Well,
I can't ask you
we're
that.
We're not even
you
in the meeting. You're not even telling me that we're
right
going to have a meeting.
We're in a meeting. We're in a meeting right now.
We're about to be in a meeting. We're in a meeting.
Yes, we are.
Okay,
yes.
I'll be right back. I need to go get my emotional support squirrel.
Wait, what? What?
I don't feel fully comfortable in our situation right now. I need to get my emotional support squirrel out of my desk.
Okay, well, hold on. Then let's stop this meeting, right? Let's not
like
have this
idea.
Meeting right now.
No, not a problem. Right? I'm good with that.
Then let's have a conversation about what you're going to need for emotional support.
Yeah, so, I already have it. It's a squirrel. He's at my desk.
So you have a squirrel at your desk
I
that
do.
You bring at your desk.
Yeah, he's
okay.
been with me for
Got
the past it. Year. My boss said it was okay. Is there a problem
right.
with that?
Well, let's talk. How is that squirrel going to help you at work?
We don't need to talk about that. My boss said it was okay. We're in operations on the floor. You're HR. I don't talk to HR about nothing.
No, I know, but you do. You do. So
you're
we're
like
having
Darth
a conversation.
Vader.
Why are you getting defensive? I'm not breathing in and out really uncomfortably. I'm not like Darth Vader. Go ahead. Yeah, that's not me. That's JC. In case you guys are not watching.
Listen, my boss was explicit when he said that I had to come here to talk to you, that I just need to agree and then make sure I come back to the desk and hold the squirrel. So I'm just here to do my job, and I'm a stellar performer.
No, I got you. And JC, I'm here to help you.
All right.
And being the best employee you could possibly be.
I appreciate you. You're great.
But now you're telling me that you need to bring an
emotional
animal?
Support animal. Yes.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about why you need that emotional support. How is that animal going to help you at work? I want to make sure
that
whatever you have.
I don't feel comfortable talking about that because it is a medical thing. I'm sorry.
Okay, no,
I don't
want
to give that to you. I don't ask about your bowel movements that take 3 hours, you know. I don't go on about the things that are medically wrong with
you. How do
you
know it takes 3 hours?
Because we've
spying
timed
on
you.
Me now?
No, we've timed
you. Okay, so
you
now
tie
you're
up the only
me.
Stall on the floor. You don't even do it in
I
your own
I need
office.
An emotional support animal too then.
Okay.
Anytime I'm with you, I'm going to need an emotional support animal.
I like this.
I'm going to need a parrot. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm filing an emotional support animal on you.
Right.
I want a parrot.
I don't know if
everything
you
say.
I don't know if you can file file an animal. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to
know.
File. Okay,
an
Ricky?
Emotional support
right.
animal. Like
I'm going to file an emotional support snake on you. Here you go.
Ever since like a little kid, just always been interested in animals and particularly reptiles, snakes, crocodilian species. And I just went to a reptile show one day. There's plenty of them around here in Florida and kind of just fell in love. I didn't know there was such a large business opportunity. So I do have a couple of snakes that are a little more of on the aggressive side than others. But for the most part, they're mostly handleable and calm like this one here. Very kid-friendly is what we like to say, too, in the industry as well, because, like you said, it's not very threatening snake like this. It's a little silly, to be honest with you. The guy having I don't know what he... snake for anxiety, something like that. I've seen all kinds of stuff like that. I don't agree with it. You know, I can see why having one at the house calms you down, watching TV, doing something like that. I don't see any need bringing it into a restaurant. You wouldn't want to do that. I would never want to do that anyways.
So this was part of an Orlando Sentinel story where a customer had a emotional support snake with them. And they went in to get a bite to eat because it made them feel more comfortable. And to which it rattled the workforce. And they were not comfortable with that.
So was the snake around, was it out in the open around the person's arm or was it in a little cage?
No, I think it was around the arm, something like that.
Okay, yeah, that would be an issue.
Yeah.
Because it's snakes, they freak people out, right? And you don't want them to freak your employees out or your customers out. So that's when you have to strike up that conversation of allowing that in there. But let's talk about work though, right? Let's go back to the squirrel, right? If the squirrel doesn't pose a threat to anybody else, then it's reasonable for you to have that squirrel there so long as it provides you the support you're going to need to do your job properly. Now, let's say it was an alligator. That happened last year in Jacksonville where an organization told show me a picture of a squirrel screaming.
Yeah, no, there's an actual story about the emotional support squirrel when you won.
Oh, is that right?
Can we do this before the alligator?
Let's go.
Okay,
let's go.
This is from CBSNews.com. A woman told Frontier Airlines she was bringing an emotional support animal along when booking a flight from Orlando, Florida to Cleveland. Of course it's Cleveland. It's either Ohio, Texas, or Florida. And she's going from one to the other. So you know there's something not good happening there already.
That's right.
All right. So, but the airline says she neglected to mention a key detail. Her animal companion was a squirrel. Cats and dogs are allowed in the cabins of Frontier Airline flights, but squirrels and other rodents are not. The carrier said police were called when the unidentified woman boarded with a squirrel and refused to leave the plane after airline employees explained the policy to her Tuesday night. How did you even get through TSA in Orlando?
Thank you. That was my question.
If you've ever been to Orlando, there's one airport that like rules them all. And I'm going to tell you, like, okay, LaGuardia, JFK, Philly, they don't mess around. Orlando, it's like you just landed in Cuba. You know, I mean, the lines are strict. They like basically take your clothes off for you. You know, I mean, it's pretty fierce down there. I remember going through the Orlando airport, Rick, and I had my my microphone bag, and they said, "Sir, we really need you off to the side here. We have to search your bag." Okay,
really?
All right, no problem. And I put my hands up like this too. My hands were up. I'm like, "No problem, no problem." And I keep saying it louder and louder. And then they started looking at me a little bit strange. You know. So I'm like, lo siento, no hablo español. Lo siento, no hablo.
Oh, you did not, dude.
It was messed up. Like, I thought that they were about to ask me if I needed an interpreter, and I'm saying I don't speak Spanish, you know? So it was good. You know, we're all good. We go over there. She's like, okay, I'm going to look in your bag. I'm like, yeah, sure. Let me open it for you.
Go ahead.
Get away from the bag. Back up from the bag. I'm like, it's just a bag. There's a microphone in the bag. Don't worry. Sir, get away from the bag. Dude, it was brutal. By the time they got down to the bottom of it, the supervisor came over. He's like, Karen, really? Pulls out a microphone. He's like, seriously?
Karen.
You're free to go, sir. No problem.
That was her name, Karen?
Karen, yeah. So Orlando was very, very strict. So, okay, she gets through the Orlando airport with a squirrel. come on. I had a hard enough time with a microphone, Rick. All right. So flight 1612 from Orlando to Cleveland delayed like 2 hours as law enforcement arrived on the scene, asking other passengers exiting the plane as they contended with the squirrel owner. Now, according to local media outlets, the woman and the squirrel were eventually escorted off the flight. The scene was depicted in a video posted to social media by a guy saying that you can't make this stuff up. Just going on and on. Brandon Nixon on Twitter. So I'm flying back to Cleveland and everyone got on the plane. Then was asked to exit the plane, only later to find out a woman brought a squirrel in her carry-on and labeled it as her emotional support pet, then refuses to get off till the cops come. Frontier did not apologize, but continued to reinforce their policy.
Was the squirrel in a cage?
It doesn't say, Rick. It doesn't say. For all we know, maybe the squirrel was, like, running free. Maybe it was on a leash.
If the squirrel was in a cage, then maybe TSA thought it was a little tiny dog.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe it was in like one of those packs that you put on your chest and carried around like a little baby with its little furry paws hanging out right there.
Every time, why do you always go to that accent? Were you
Which
talking
one?
About paws? Oh, that one. What you just did.
That's a little furry paws there. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So, okay.
All right. So, emotional support squirrel. We circled the wagons on this one. Not really allowed, depending on the workspace.
Well, wait a minute. But back to the airline thing. Why would you not allow a squirrel if it's secure just like a dog is?
They allow cats and dogs and not rodents. That's their policy.
So would ADA not apply in case that's an emotional support squirrel for that person?
All it says is rodents, including squirrels, are not allowed on Frontier flights, period.
Wow. They actually mentioned squirrels and rodents.
The quote is, rodents, including squirrels, are not allowed on Frontier flights.
Wow. Look at that. What if they brought a clown? They would have to buy a ticket.
They got to buy, yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you put them on your lap? You know what I mean?
That would be really awkward. Oh, how awkward would that be? Okay, so yeah, we did circle the wagon with the squirrel. So we would have to have that conversation back at the office about why you need that. And I guess the only concern I would have is if anybody else in the office is allergic to squirrels, is allergic to rodents. And then we have to take that into account. But we will be hard, an organization will be hard pressed to say no to that if it doesn't pose a threat to the organization or other employees or a hardship to the organization. So I don't think we will say no to an emotional support squirrel.
Ricky, do you allow dogs at your workplace?
If it's a dog, a CNI dog, a service dog, or an emotional support dog, yes, we do.
All right, that's good. What about just someone that wants to have a dog around? You know, like,
no,
hey, the floor manager prefers there to be a dog in the office.
No, we do not allow that. That is not allowed.
Build a schedule of rotation. Everyone brings their dog one day a year.
No, we don't do that.
Nothing.
No. That doesn't happen.
I used to work at a place where the CEO and one of the guys on the support team, they used to bring their dogs, but they would take turns. And everyone loved it. It was fantastic. No one was allergic. They were very good dogs. And it was really cool because, like, when you would reach that point of stress, next thing you know, the dog shows up and just started nudging you and, like, wanted to, like, just get some love. It was very nice. It was calming. It was soothing.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. Until Karen down the aisle decides to bring her 130-pound pit bull that's untrained that she just rescued.
It was a smaller business, so it was coordinated. You know what I mean? I get what you're saying, though.
So what happens at that point? Now, look, nothing against pit bulls. I was just using that as an example. But you got to be careful with what you allow, because what if somebody else wants to bring a boa constrictor, a 10-foot boa constrictor to the office?
No, you got a good point there. Comfort animals like pigs, snakes, birds, cats. Are you prepared to welcome them?
Just if you want to bring them, absolutely not. Those are not allowed. Now, if you want to bring them for medical reasons, let's have that conversation first to see if that is something that we can or cannot accommodate. The conversation needs to happen first. Now, I remember in my last class that I was teaching earlier this year, we talked about an organization in Jacksonville, Florida, that they got sued because they had an employee who wanted to bring an emotional support alligator. And they told him no. I believe they let him go. I have to look up that story. But what ended up happening is,
policy-wise, they didn't already have it laid out, or they did. I'm on pins and needles.
Here's the thing. They had an ADA policy. But the first step in the Americans with Disabilities Act is you have to have that conversation. They refused to have that conversation. They told them no without having that conversation, and they violated the law. They got sued. Now, here's the thing. If they would have had that conversation, it would be reasonable for the organization to say no, because obviously a gator is going to bite somebody. It's going to hurt somebody.
You don't know that.
Really?
You don't know that.
You could just walk up to a random gator and say, hey, how you doing, buddy? And you don't expect to get hurt at all.
You don't. It might not be a random gator. Maybe it's a toothless gator that needs assistance itself.
What the fuck are you
What's
talking
gonna
about?
What's going to happen? It's going to gum you?
Gator?
Yeah. So my emotional support gator is toothless, and I just bring him everywhere. He gums my arms when I feel bad.
What? Okay, got it. You have a toothless gator.
Hey, Ricky, you want to put me on the phones for a little bit more? I got no problems with that. But when I get stressed out, I need my toothless gator to rub on my arms with his teeth. But he ain't got them. So he gums me. And when he gums me, it makes me feel better, Ricky.
Oh, Lord. No, your accents kill me, dude. Okay, so Ricky, a toothless gator, I get it. Yeah. What about the claws? What do you do with the claws then?
The accents are not that good. It's fine. No. What do you do with the claws?
What do you do with the claws then?
You declaw
so
him.
They can scratch somebody.
No, you
scare
declawed.
The shit out of somebody.
A declawed toothless gator.
Oh my goodness. Then how, at that point, is it even a gator anymore?
Well, of course it is. Are you a scientist, Ricky? No.
I am not a scientist.
Yeah, you're an HR professional.
Yeah, so now you're going to get this gator with no teeth, with no claws. The gator is no longer a gator. It's no, that's a completely bogus.
All right. Let's take the gator out of it for a second.
When
you allow pets in the workplace, it is a good idea. It does improve morale. It attracts younger talent. It helps employees bond. And that's going to motivate good work, Rick. It really is. Those are three solid things.
As long as you don't say the reason you're having a pet policy is to attract younger talent, because that might get you in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah,
put it in
your advertisements. Yeah, we allow your dogs.
We're looking for young people, so we have this pet policy.
That's right. We're firing the olders, you know.
No, don't do that.
I do believe
Petco or PetSmart, one or the other, they do allow animals in the office. I would love to look at their policies, because they have to have a very detailed policy as to what kind of pet is and is not allowed in the office.
There it is, Rick.
What?
There's a job model. Okay, do you remember when you said to me, let's make tailgate.com, and you said the website was available, but you spelt it wrong, and it was a great business model? Well, here's a business model for you. I don't know if this exists, Ricky.
That was 20 years ago.
What about pet leasing?
Go on.
Yeah, so someone shows up at the office at 10 o'clock in the morning. They bring the animal of choice that everyone has elected to have come by. The animal of choice is there for the office to enjoy for the day, and then they come pick the animal up at the end of the day. Pet leasing.
Don't they do that for, like, birthday parties?
Yeah, but do it for, like, the office on an annual basis.
That's not a bad idea.
I kind of like
it a lot.
What
kind of pets? What kind of
Whatever you want. Giraffes, animals.
Mountain lion?
Mountain lions.
A toothless clawless. Toothless clawless gator.
Like a gum my arms. You know, so look.
Five years from now, we have that happen, and somebody in the office, I hear about this at HR Talk?
Yeah, right.
I think I heard about this, right?
All right, but okay, so a few reasons why it's a bad idea. You did bring up a few more, but I'm going to dogpile. You ready?
Okay,
so when one or more coworkers is allergic or they have a fear of that animal, I mean, that's kind of a serious thing. What about if the landlord doesn't allow it, Rick? You're going to have a problem there. You're going to have a problem outside the doors.
Not really.
What about if it's a sterile workplace or you make food? How are you going to have a support cab?
So that's different, right?
This is my support cabbie.
Because if there's a chef that really wants a support animal in the kitchen, now you're dealing with health issues. I'm not sure you can have a dog hanging out 2 feet when you're making chicken parmesan. I don't know if that can happen, but because you're making food for people, it becomes a health risk. It would be a undue hardship for the organization to approve that. Therefore, they'll deny it for that reason only. In a regular office, no, it has to be allowed. We had three people at our call center, actually two of them, that were blind, and they needed to see an eye dog. We did accommodate. The other person had a dog for an emotional support that had all the documentation. We will allow it.
Question.
If you bring, yes.
Okay. You're allowing the see an eye dog. And it is a reasonable accommodation.
Of course.
Papers
it is.
Are signed off. Now you've got two or three people that are blind. There's two or three separate C&I dogs. Work with me here.
Maybe I am not. I'm waiting for you to say it. I know where you're going.
The dogs don't get along. All right? What do you do?
Leave it to you. Scenarios, but
what do you do?
It's a good scenario.
It's a great scenario.
It's a good scenario.
So
it is.
Karen, Steve, and Lance are at a desk. Karen, Steve, and Lance are within feet of each other. Karen, Steve, and Lance are all blind, and they all they don't laugh at disabilities.
I'm not laughing at disabilities. I'm laughing at the scenario you're posing.
And they all have dogs.
Why are you laughing at the disability?
Because you make the faces when you laugh. And it makes me smile and laugh. So anyways, the three dogs argue, and they start to fight a little bit. What
they're
do you
arguing?
Do?
They're arguing?
Yes.
The dogs are arguing? These are some smart dogs.
They're seeing eye dogs, Rick. Of course they're smart.
So here's what you do, right? Obviously, you can't send them home, but you have to be very strategic in where you place these employees, and you have to be able to change where they sit in a way that doesn't unreasonably affect their schedule or their pay, depending if they were morning or night. You've got to have conversations with all three employees to make sure you come to a common accord and you find the best common ground for everybody. Good job, JC.
Well, this leads me into the other point as to why maybe you don't do it.
I don't do what?
Well, can you hear me at all?
Yes.
All these dogs are fighting. Maybe the reason why you don't bring the dogs is because it's disturbing the workplace.
Correct. So
it's ruining productivity, Rick.
So you have a conversation with the employee.
Tone it down. Quiet. Sorry about that.
Then you have now. Have you ever seen a CNI dog at the office?
Well, they Ricky, don't. Most dogs can see, Rick.
Jesus Christ. Have you ever witnessed and seen? I know you're such an asshole. No,
all the time. I see dogs seeing all the time.
The reason I'm saying
service, that, Jason, though, yes, I've seen a dog in service.
They are very, very well trained.
Extremely well trained.
And they're very, very quiet.
They're better well trained than millennials.
Oh, my God.
Ah, snap. Shots fired.
Okay, you know what? Hold on, because we just had a conversation about this in class the other night to my students. I do apologize.
I'm only kidding.
He said it with a serious face. He is serious as a heart attack. It's okay. So,
heart attacks are serious, a.k.a. as per Ricky.
So they're very well
because
trained.
Because heart attacks are normally jokes, Rick. Good job.
Yeah, I know. It's a sane welcome to 2002.
So, yes, they are really trained. They're trained quite well. They're very professional.
But let's say they're not. Let's say these two dogs are going at it, right? Yes. Or one dog is just barking nonstop. Now, that accommodation that you approved for this one employee, as you should with ADA, now that dog is creating an undue hardship to the organization, especially in a call center if you're barking left and right. And now the employees around you are not able to perform their duties that they're here to do. Now, you either A, if you can move that employee to another area where the dog is not going to be heard, highly unlikely in a small call center, just have a conversation with the employee to say, look, we love to work with you. We want to make sure that we help you out with your accommodation, but we have to have a conversation about your dog that is creating an environment where other employees cannot work. What do you suggest we do at this point to come to common grounds? Go ahead.
Here's someone that would suggest something that's kind of reasonable in a way, and here it is. Now, this is from Denver 7, okay? Workers' compensation company, Pinnacle Assurance, said companies need to consider the health and safety of their human workers first. Make sure pets are vaccinated before they come to work, that their behavior has been checked out, and you have a process in place if the animals aren't going to work out, said Ellen Sarvey with Pinnacle Assurance. She said companies should make sure to communicate with all employees before allowing pets in the workplace to make sure people don't have allergies or other concerns. Mm. It's also important for companies to train workers to deal with animals, especially if they're unfamiliar with the animal or haven't had pets before. Make sure that their employees have those skills to understand animal behavior. She said not everyone has a dog in their life, so they might not understand what that dog is doing is signifying something that will kill them. No, it said will harm them. Sorry. Ultimately, the goal is to create a positive and safe environment at work, if that includes a coffee break with the chameleon or meeting with a macaw. It can certainly make things more interesting.
It's good to have a policy.
Ellen Sarvey with Pinnacle Assurance. It's real good to have a policy.
It's real good to have a policy. No, those are all good points, because you really want to make sure the employees are trained. Allergy becomes a big one, right? Because some people are are allergic to dogs. So now you have to make sure that you create an environment where all employees can work in a safe environment. So then you have a conversation with either employee who can move where so we can come to a common accord. It really is about communicating and not jumping to conclusions like that one company in Jacksonville did, and they jumped to a conclusion and they automatically told the guy no for the alligator without going through ABA.
So there's been a lot going on out in Colorado in regards to this, though, too. And I do have a news clip here. This is from KOAA News 5 in South Colorado. Definitively plays directly into this. It's a longer clip. So, Rick, when you're ready to jump in, just jump right in, and I'm going to pause this recording. It goes through quite a few things regarding support animal fraud.
Pig to a peacock. We've showed you the exotic pets that people have tried to take on airplanes, and now disability advocates say the problem is only getting worse with pet owners abusing laws meant to protect people with actual disabilities. And we should point out it is illegal in Colorado to misrepresent a pet as a service animal, but Chief Investigative Reporter Eric Ross found that's not stopping people, including doctors, from skirting the law. Eric?
Shayla, good afternoon. Instead of risking a fine for declaring your pet a service animal when in fact it's not, people instead are registering their pets as emotional support animals. This allows them to fly on airplanes in the cabin with you and live in places with no pet policies. Mental health professionals are supposed to evaluate patients before declaring them in need of an emotional support animal, but our investigation found one doctor bypassing that process.
We've heard the stories of people taking their parakeet onto the airplane and dogs that are not trained.
Pat Goings sits on the Colorado Advisory Council for Persons with Disabilities. He says there's a lot of confusion surrounding the difference between emotional support animals, service animals, and the people who misrepresent them.
And so because of that, we decided that we're going to do an open house to talk about both, under the umbrella of assistance animals.
Mr. Going, along with advocacy manager Becca Michael, are working hard to educate the community on how to handle encounters with people and their pets.
A service dog is a dog that is trained to perform a specific task.
So, let me come back to this. Am I understanding that the reason they're saying that people are misrepresenting is as soon as a peacock came into the picture? So now when people are having peacocks on planes, now all of a sudden, well, that's not allowed. You're misrepresenting. Are they making the assumption that only a dog or a cat can be an emotional support animal?
The interesting thing about this piece, bro, is they start to get in depth on how easy it is to get an emotional support animal. Coming up in a little bit in the story, they actually send someone to go get documentation from a doctor to
see. Ooh, let's see that.
To say that they need an emotional support pig.
Do that.
But there's a little more on this about the federal backup on that. Jump right in once again, anytime.
Attaboy.
For example, Councilwoman Yolanda Avila's guide dog named Puma.
I would like to have my eyes back and not have a dog, but people with disabilities, we really need these dogs to make life more accessible and mobile for us.
Service dogs go through extensive training and commonly help people who are blind or have some medical condition. However, there is no formal training for emotional support animals.
There's no official way to certify those animals. So there's a great deal of confusion. And unfortunately, a great deal of abuse.
True service animals are allowed to go wherever its owner goes. But when it comes to emotional support animals, federal law only protects your right to live and fly with them. Emotional support animals do not have to be granted access inside businesses. But most people don't know that.
We've been trying for several years to get Department of Justice to formalize some sort of certification program so that the abuse would be minimized.
Emotional support animals have become increasingly controversial. For example,
Go ahead.
So I guess from my perspective here, it's who's at fault? The person filing for, I guess, the frivolous certification or the doctor that certifies it? I mean, isn't it the doctor?
Bring up a fantastic point of consideration here.
Yeah, because it's don't get mad at the person. Get mad at the doctor that approves it, if that's the case. Because you can't approve it. I can't approve it. Somebody with a PhD that has training in emotional support. I don't know what the term is. They're the ones who say yay or nay.
So how'd the old phrase go? Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, that's it.
Example, a kangaroo someone tried to bring into a McDonald's, the unruly pig that got kicked off a U.S. Airways flight, or the turkey that got a seat on Delta Airlines. Complaints against emotional support animals on airplanes alone has skyrocketed in recent years, from just 432 complaints in 2010 to more than 2,400 in 2016.
I've noticed, like, in the last couple years, it's gotten really bad. Like, I just went to a luncheon, and somebody had their dog in there, and that dog just saw Puma and started yapping away. And Boom. So it disrupted everything.
Not just...
Go ahead. Yeah,
well, no. I was just making the point that you said earlier about the three dogs arguing. No, go ahead.
Through Dog Diamond.
Anyone can claim their pet as an emotional support animal. The process requires a doctor's note from a licensed mental health professional. But we found a website and licensed doctor in Colorado willing to write us this support animal authorization letter for $150.
News 5, South Colorado, baby.
Using one of our station employees.
And by the way, we're only giving a snippet here. This is a very long story. We literally only have like a minute left in what I have clipped out. Stop by their website, KOAA, News 5, South Colorado. Here's the rest of what we have.
We filled out a quick questionnaire on whether an emotional support animal would help with daily activities. We submitted the application at 9:28 on a Saturday night. 7 minutes later, at 9:35, we got this signed letter from Dr. Michael J. Moss. He says he evaluated our engineer's mental health condition and is familiar with her history and with the functional limitations imposed by her emotional and mental health issue. Of course, she has no mental health issue, but we had no issue getting a doctor to say so and prescribe her one emotional support pig. Armed with her letter and with the help of a potbelly pig owner, awesome.
Portia is a 3-year-old, a potbelly mini pig.
Portia.
We hit the streets to see if anyone would question our emotional support pig. Our first stop, Starbucks.
You got it.
Portia, who we renamed Marilyn for this experiment, is a little shy at first and isn't quite sure about going inside. But that doesn't stop Starbucks employees from running to the door.
Come on, Marilyn.
Not to kick the pig out, but to pet it and even take pictures.
Thank you, guys. You guys are so polite.
Even patrons couldn't believe what was happening. We got Marilyn in and out of Starbucks, no problem.
That's it.
So
that's
it. I don't think that's a testament to Starbucks' welcoming nature. I think they've done pretty nasty things in the past about kicking people out. That next thing you know, they're like, we need to overcompensate. Here we go. That is awesome.
I'm going to stop by and grab a latte with my pot belly pig.
So on Saturday night.
Now, pot belly pig's different, I think, though, right? I don't know. Emotional support pig in Starbucks. There you go. All right. So go ahead.
I don't think the animal is the issue. Again, is who approved it and what the process is to approve it. This is a great example of somebody who really didn't take a look of the ins and outs of this person's disability. It just so happens the engineer didn't have one. This is one of the $150. And in 7 minutes, there you go. They wrote a letter. That is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And you know what, JC? Here's the thing, right? If I'm on a plane and
it does such a disservice to everyone else that actually needs it, though, you know?
Well, so that's the thing, right? I personally don't care if somebody is sitting next to me with a peacock, so long as that peacock is not going crazy, ruining my experience, right? Even if it was a nice dog, if it was an emotional support dog that somebody really needed, next thing you know, that dog is growling at my kid and just scaring the crap out of my kid, I'm going to have an issue with that. Because, yes, I get it. You need this emotional support dog, but my son doesn't need to be deathly afraid of a dog because of your emotional issues. So either you're going to move your seat or I'm going to move mine. One of the two is going to happen. But I think behavior is important in this situation, how these animals behave, and if they got the certification through proper channels.
The ADA defines a service animal as any dog, or in some cases, miniature horses that are trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of an individual with a disability, including a physical, sensory, psychiatric, or other mental disability. Animals that satisfy this definition are considered service animals under the ADA, regardless of whether they have been licensed or certified by a governmental entity.
So only dogs or miniature horses, huh?
That's what it says here. Now, I don't have a cited source in the whole ADA thing, but this was coming
from
Cal Public Agency Labor Employment Blog.com, article put together by guest author.
I'm going to have to look further into that. I find it hard. I could be wrong, but I find it hard to believe that the ADA would specify what type of animal would make an emotional support animal, because as soon as you say a specific type, that leaves a lot of holes for something else to happen. It's got to be ambiguous to some point.
All right, so I just googled ADA miniature horses. Okay. I mean, what better Google term, you know?
Yeah.
ADA requirements for service animals. This is coming directly from ada.gov/service-animals_animals_2010.htm. ADA requirements, I don't know if this is the most recent form or not. Ricky and I are not legal advisors. We are not compliance officers. We have nothing to do with the government providing advisement on these matters. We are just two guys talking about crap. So this is from the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, ADA requirements for service animals. Department of Justice published revised final regulations implementing the Americans with Disabilities Act for Title II, on, et cetera, et cetera. Overview. Beginning March 15, 2011, only dogs are recognized as service animals under Titles 2 and 3 of the ADA. A service animal is a dog that is individually trained to do work or perform tasks for a person with a disability. Generally, Title 2 and Title 3 entities must permit service animals to accompany people with disabilities in all areas where members of the public are allowed. How service animal is defined, you may ask yourself, right, Rick?
Yes, how?
They are defined as dogs that are individually trained to do work or perform tasks for people with disabilities, period. It's the end of their sentence. It doesn't say cats. It says dogs. Service animals are working animals, not pets. The work or task a dog, you're killing me. A dog has been trained to provide must directly be related to the person's disability. On and on. Where service animals are allowed, we all already know that. Service animals must be under control. Under the ADA, service animals must be harnessed, leashed, or tethered unless these devices interfere with the service animal's work or the individual's disability prevents the using of these devices. Now,
leashed or tethered.
At the bottom of their form here, after it goes on about many more requirements, there is a breakout for miniature horses. It states, in addition to the provisions about service dogs, the department's revised ADA regulations have a new separate provision about miniature horses that have been individually trained to do work or perform tasks for people with disabilities. Miniature horses generally range in height from 24 to 34 inches, measured to the shoulders, and generally weigh between 70 and 100 pounds. Entities covered by the ADA must modify their policies to permit miniature horses where reasonable. The regulations set out four assessment factors to assist entities in determining whether miniature horses can be accommodated in their facility. The assessment factors are as follows. One, are you ready for this, Rick?
I'm ready.
Whether the miniature horse is housebroken.
Okay, continue.
Two, whether the miniature horse is under the owner's control.
I can't believe they're that detailed with it.
Three, whether the facility can accommodate the miniature horse's type, size, and weight.
What?
I'll repeat three.
Yeah.
Whether the facility can accommodate the miniature horses' type, size, and weight.
Okay, I get that.
Right.
I get that.
I mean, think about the times that you've gone to the county fair and you gotten cotton candy from the guy. You don't see a miniature horse back there in the trailer. There's not a lot of room.
There isn't. I get it.
Okay, number four. Whether the miniature horse's presence will not compromise legitimate safety requirements necessary for safe operation of the facility. For more information, stop by ada.gov or call their information line at 1-800-514-0301 or 800-514-0383-TTY, 24 hours a day to order publications by mail, Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 5:30. Why are they going to say in this thing, Rick, look, I'm going to show this to you. They put their information right at the bottom, and then they say 24 hours a day to order publications by mail. But you could only reach us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from these hours and Thursday from these hours. Too confusing. That's my problem with entities that do this. Put it out clear, you know?
Yeah,
you were clear. You were clear about the horse, but you're not clear about how I could contact you. I appreciate
I'm just shocked that they're limiting it to dogs and horses, miniature horses. It's just really shocking. And if that's the case, what kind of doctors are approving a pig, a gator, a snake, or even a goldfish? Why not a goldfish? Wouldn't a goldfish be less disturbing in an office setting than, let's say, a miniature horse would?
Yeah,
just have a little goldfish and a betta fish.
Absolutely.
What if a betta fish could provide that?
You bring up a fantastic point, my friend.
You sound really far. There you go. Yeah. So
Sorry about that.
No, you're good. So yeah. So it's just really odd, and these are happening more and more too frequently. I'm going on a limb here, and I don't have any data to back this up, but it almost sounds like the reason people are getting all these exotic animals is just to push the envelope and to see if they can make a headline out of it. Now, again, I don't have any data behind it. I'm not supposed to understand how a peacock can be an emotional support animal, and nor would I try to, because that's just not me. But I don't know. It just sounds weird. It does. And again, if I'm sitting in a plane and next to me is a big old turkey, it's just flopping all over the place, making a big, big mess and scaring my family, I'm going to have an issue with it. Not from an employer's perspective, not from an HR manager perspective, but from your father's perspective, because now you're scaring the crap out of my kid, and I have an issue with that. But as far as the gator is concerned, it's what picture are you showing me there? I don't know what that is. I can't see it.
It's a miniature horse. Just pick up type in miniature horse ADA.
Let me bring that up. Hold on. This is what we're talking about.
We could go back to clowns, Rick. You brought up the emotional support clown to me offline.
This is awesome, man. This is awesome.
But the miniature horse is actually a serious thing that you need to be ready for and accommodate in your workspace. Or come on, man. If someone has a dog, they could also have a miniature horse, and it's going to be okay.
Well, here's the thing, right? It's in an HR setting. There needs to be some paperwork that that would have to be provided by a licensed physician that would say, hey, this employee or my patient would need to have this emotional support, fill in the blank of an animal. And if that is certified and we see that it's certified, then we make a decision to see if it's reasonable for us to accommodate, or we'll put a business case together and why it's a hardship. And the hardship cannot be, I just don't want to hear. That's not a hardship. It's got to be a legitimate hardship. One example, again, what we used earlier with the dogs barking left and right, and now the customer cannot hear the employees trying to sell them something or help them out over the phone because the dog is barking. That is an undue hardship. Again, you figure out a way how to work with them. You move them to another side of the call center where that noise is not going to create any issue. But if that is not a viable option, then, hey, let's have a conversation about what else you can do. Can you get another dog, which that's a hard thing to ask, or get more training, which is a hard thing to ask, especially if they have an emotional attachment to that dog.
Taking a trip out to Nebraska real quick here, Rick. We're going to talk about Flirty, the miniature horse. All right. This is such a big deal that out in Omaha, they wrote a story about this. Now, this is coming from omaha.com. Feel free to stop by there. Just type in Flirty, the miniature horse. I'm sure you're going to find the story. According to the ADA, miniature horses can be trained to work and perform tasks for people with disabilities. This woman had brought Flirty, the horse, with her to help with medical alerts and mobility assistance. The person who trains horses, has trained horses for 20 years, said that Flirty was a show pony before being a service pony. Flirty, who turns 7 next month, has the capability of living 35 years. Oh. So you figure a service dog is going to get you what? Between 10 15, to 20.
16 years, yeah.
Right? Your service horse is going to get you 35. It's bang for the buck, Rick. So she's going to have the horse working its entire life. And that's about the equivalent of 3 service dogs. And she states that training Flirty has been easy because Flirty was used to already being in public. And one of the hardest things was training any service animal is getting them used to public situations. But because it was a show pony, the horse has been everywhere and has done everything. Adults are more likely to pet Flirty without permission, but you should not be petting Flirty unless you ask. And the horse won't go into a store, and the horse hates pooping in public. That's her miniature horse, not all miniature horses. So that's a little bit about Flirty the horse, you know, in
the
Omaha.
Horse hates pooping in public?
Yeah, this horse is timid about public poops, Rick.
We got to take him to the bathroom now?
I guess so. I don't
know. Like in the public stalls?
It's a thing, Rick.
Wow. That's interesting.
So, yeah, miniature horses, 35 years, and they help with mobility issues, though, as well. So if you get tired, you're walking along, you ride your horse.
It's a miniature. How can you ride it?
Rick, when you head down to the Old Town Road, anything's possible.
I guess so. Nebraska. In Nebraska, anything's possible. Isn't that on the license plate? No. Yeah, got it. What else you got? You went away from the mic. What are you doing? What are you doing over there?
I was pulling up the lyrics to Old Town Road to read them to you if you need it.
No, go ahead.
You know that song or no?
I don't. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, my God. You've never heard the song Old Town Road?
Maybe if I hear it.
We can't play it on the show. We can't play it on the show.
Okay.
But I want you, your homework. Between now and Sunday, when we record again, please listen to the song Old Town Road. It's going to make this Old Town Road. It's going to make this whole thing so much funnier to you. It's good. Lil Nas.
Lil Nas?
Lil Nas X. Yeah.
Lil Nas X?
Yep.
That's an artist?
Yep.
Got it. Okay.
I'm wearing you down. You're like about to sleep right now, man. You're killing me. Talk to me.
I'm trying to figure out who the hell is Lil Nas.
Don't worry about that part. So put your HR hat on. Think about the miniature horse, and let's transition to something else. Are you done with the horses, or are you good with this?
I think we talked about it enough. We know what we need to do. It's just have a conversation. You check the box for the dynamic dialogue, and miniature horse obviously would be allowed if the proper documentation was provided. I don't think a miniature or well-trained miniature horse would pose any kind of threat to any other employee here's the thing. Unless somebody asks the employee, hey, can I pet your miniature horse? They say yes. You go to pet and the horse bites you, then you got to work its comp situation. That's a whole nother episode. But yes, ADA, emotional support animals, emotional support clowns. Don't mess around with that. Make sure that you follow the ADA process. You're never, ever, ever going to go wrong.
Good job. Yay. Good job. Bravo. All right. I'm going to throw something at you. I don't have any news articles to back this up, but I want your opinion on it. I want you to honest and straightforward because a lot of people are going to hear this one and they're going to, they want to know what you think. I want to know what you think. Yes. There's a lot of people out there in the HR world that don't have a post-nominal. There's a lot of people that do good work every day that are in the industry that know what to do with benefits and leave and all these other things. And they're not this fully accredited rock star, as you like to call them, right? Not you, but the world.
I got you.
HR in limited roles. I want to ask you about this. It's a real thing. You get people to get hired into a position left and right all the time. And then when they get into that position, they're limited. They're squashed. They're put into a little box and only allowed to do maybe 5 to 10% of what a typical person, HR generalist, specialist, whatever the case may be, depending on their level, they might be limited compared to the standard industry capacity based on organizational need and setup.
Okay.
Talk to me about those people. Talk to me about what they could do to go to the next step because they don't get the practical application experience on a day-to-day basis, man. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
And this is what happens when somebody sells you something and when the goods are delivered to something else. So when somebody goes to apply for a position that says, hey, I'm looking for an HR manager, and then you go on board as an HR manager, and then when you start seeing those duties, you end up being an HR admin, HR specialist. You're not imagining shit. Right. All you're doing is just doing paperwork. So it's look, from my point of view, I would say have a conversation with that leader and like, hey, maybe I misunderstood what this job was all about. But through the interview process, you told me I was going to be managing all these processes, working on these strategic initiatives. And now I'm just filing paperwork and getting really busy doing open enrollment.
Come on, man. Let's be honest about it. You know what you're doing at that point. You're making a living paycheck to paycheck. You're just getting by. That's what you're doing at that point.
Okay.
You showed up to work and you said that you were going to learn the job and you're doing everything you can to learn that job. And you're maybe in a market where there's not a lot of jobs. Maybe there's or maybe there's a plethora of them. Let's go that path. There's so many of them. But the thing is that they're looking for someone with actual HR skills. And you've now been in the job for 3 to 5 years. You should have that level of expertise and you don't.
Okay. I'm sorry, dude. I'm really confused with the question, though, because if you hop on that in that organization, you've been there for 3 to 5 years and they're only using 15% of your expertise.
Yes.
What's happening with the other? What's happening with the other 85%? What are you doing with the rest of your time? Something non-HR related? Are you doing operations work?
Maybe say they farmed it out. Maybe they start to inundate you with admin tasks.
Then you so have now some it's going questions to
a
third to
party software system or a PEO or some other crap, man. And you're just filling the void. And they're not going to hire more people. And you feel as almost you're being demoted at times, but you know that you're in good graces and you're not going to get fired anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. So you have to look in the mirror and figure out, are you happy where you are right now? If you are, no harm, no foul. If you are not getting enough to fulfill your career aspirations, I'm not going to say go ahead and quit. All I'm saying is have that conversation with that leader because maybe that leader doesn't know that they're not using you appropriately for the talents that you have and that you can be efficient with the organization. So have that conversation with that leader. If that leader says, no, I know exactly what the hell I'm doing, I'm going to keep you exactly where you are, then you've got a decision to make, boo-boo. Are you going to stay there and continue going that route and being used 50% of the time for the skills you have and the skills that you obtain by all the experience you had before and you got your degree and all your post-nominals? Or you could just go somewhere else where you're appreciated for the talents that you have.
So is it better off to focus on trying to get the post-nominals even though you don't have them at the time so that you could just bolster the resume even though you don't necessarily have that backing of the day-to-day tasks? And there's a plethora of jobs out there that you could apply to. There is stuff posted left and right. There is opportunity, and you're continually being passed over because they know where you work, they know what you do, and they know that it's garbage compared to what they're asking for. They know you're not garbage, but they know that you've been stuck in an environment where you're pigeonholed.
No, I get you. So it's if you go somewhere else, that other organization doesn't give you the shot because they know where you work and you know and they know the background and the leadership that you're working under. And that is the only thing that that other organization has to go by to make a determination on whether your skill set is valued or not. Then what are you going to do about that?
Right.
Go on LinkedIn, put out a podcast, put out some videos, go to HR networking events like Disrupt HR Orlando, disrupt HR any city when they're able to see that skill set and promote the living shit out of it. Because right now we live in an era where we have a phone, we got YouTube, we have access to everything in the world. We are data rich, information poor. We have so much data out there, but we don't know where to look for the information. And you got to put yourself out there. That way the other organizations can see what you really are, that your current employer does not define the value of your skill set. So it really is up to you to be out there and promote yourself, promote your skill set so they can see what you can do. And maybe they can make a decision based on what they saw you do in YouTube, what they heard you say on HR Talk, or what they saw you do in any other social media outlet. So that's what I would advise. Don't only rely on the post nominals. The only thing those post nominals do, it shows that you have the knowledge to perform these tasks. But the question is, what are you going to do with that knowledge? And that's what hiring authorities want to know.
Okay, so I'm laying back on my laurels and I've got the opportunity right here to sit down and write a book and get a book put out there.
Uh-huh.
Or I have the opportunity to pay $3,000 and go get a credential in the same amount of time. Do I write a book about my experiences and get my name out there, or do I get some credentials?
So this is my opinion and my opinion only.
Yes, your opinion. This is, good God, that's what I'm trying to get out of you, man.
Credentials don't mean shit unless you're able to put them to use and show the world what you did with them.
Able to put them to use.
Yes.
Able to put them to use.
Yes, correct. You have to be able to put them to use. But what's the point of you putting them to use and nobody else can see it? Right? So other people need to see that happening. So you got to market yourself. And for those of you who are out there that are an introvert and you don't feel like you have to get out there and just toot your own horn, guess what? Polish that bad boy up, because that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Show the world what you can do. Get out there. Produce some content that other people can see easily. And then let them make the decision. Let me tell you, JC, when somebody applies to any of my open positions that they're going to work for me, I don't only rely on an interview or a resume. I look them up. What kind of content are they putting out on LinkedIn? What kind of content are they putting out on social media? Because I want, remember, I can't see, it's a resume is a marketing campaign. And you've seen these commercials out there. You've seen the commercial for Burger King when you have a big Whopper.
It's not that. It's not that at all. It's not even a marketing campaign thing.
Yes, it is.
A resume is a way just to trick the applicant tracking system to think that you're the best. That's what it is. It's so a way to beat the computer. That's all it is.
Just how a commercial is going to trick you that Burger King has the best burger by putting a fake burger out there. And when you get to buy it, it's completely crap.
It's not marketing. Do you know what it is? It's that Trojan horse. That's what it is. It's that empty rabbit in Monty Python. You're pushing it up to the castle, and you have the intention of being inside of it once it goes in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unless you got into that rabbit, you ain't getting in the castle, right?
Correct.
So you could lie on that resume. You could fill it with nothing but garbage to get over that fence and to get into that castle. You could do that. But unless you get in there and you actually believe it and believe in yourself, you're never going to get the job. You're not,
but you might be able to fool somebody, right? Because you may be a lot better.
Yes.
Yeah, because you may be a lot better in selling yourself with the skill set than actually performing in that skill set that you're BSing your way through the interview.
Fooling someone. So then you get to the point where you just fooled them. You just tricked everybody. Ha ha, I'm David Blaine. I got the job. What happens
then,
in 6 months?
And then 6 months later, they find out the real you.
Yeah. And then what do? They have a hard time firing you.
Well, in this day and age, they do. But if the organization has done everything they have, they would have really kept an eye open for the first 90 days. Normally, some organizations and the majority of the organizations have a 90-day probationary period when you're able to see if the skill set you sold everybody in the interview are actually the skill set that you're using in the job. So you get to your, you have a 90-day, 30-day meeting to review the past 4 weeks. You have a 60-day meeting to pass the previous month. And then right before the 90-day hits, then you have a really honest conversation. Is this somebody we want to keep? Or is this somebody who needs a little bit more polishing to vote so they can be a rock star in 5 months? If you don't pay attention to that and you keep them there, you have bought the form. Now you have to continue on with whatever disciplinary process or performance improvement process you have in place for the organization. So this is so the employee has just as enough of a stake in the game to make sure that they're touting the right skills for the right job, as the employer has to make sure that they're asking the right question that's going to show what kind of person this person is going to be in the organization in 3 months.
Would you hire would you hire someone without a degree straight out of high school? Would you hire someone as an intern in high school and mold them to your culture and environment? No post-nominals, no nothing.
I would. Here's what I look for. I look for work ethic, willingness to learn.
And
that's what I look for.
And a backbone.
Well, obviously. But I need that work ethic. I need that willingness to learn. I need that person to want to move mountains and learn as much as they can. To me, work ethic is more important than having the education. Because if you have strong work ethic, you're going to get the education. If you don't have a work ethic, you may have an education, but you don't have the work ethic to actually put it to use.
All right. You've got to be able to put it to use. Where do you draw the line between someone being in HR and being part of HR?
So that's an interesting concept that we talked about at work today. it really is.
And let's use me as your pinata.
I will use you as a pinata.
Someone say to me recently that given the totality of all that I am, I'm not in HR.
Really?
Yes.
But yet, here you are as a co-host of HR Talk, number one. Number two, you have done MC work at Disrupt HR. Number three, you're about to do MC work for another Disrupt HR.
It'll be like not four or five of them so far, but that's fine. MC work is MC work, Greg. Newscasters do that. They do SHRM conferences, all that stuff.
Yeah, but here's the thing, buddy. Here's the thing. But now you're doing research, because anytime we have a show, what do? You log in and you start researching.
I could tell you all about 29 USC. I could do that. I could go all the way down the ADA.
But do you see what I'm saying? So for somebody to tell you, you're not in HR, what the hell do they know? You're just tracking along with it and getting the experience.
So pinata time, right? This is me then. I got you. They're telling me this right now, okay? Mm-hmm. Then what? You're just a guy that drinks a beer with another guy and talks crap about stuff. You're not in HR. Okay, fine. I get that. And maybe some of the stuff that we talk about also influences articles in some of the biggest newspapers in this country.
I've seen that.
And we have seen this multiple times, and I'm not going to call out the articles, the people, or the writers, and we bless you all for continuing to do it, and we encourage it. And you know, even though we're talking about something that could be regurgitated from something that you wrote and put out there, then we put our spin on it, push it back out, and then you regurgitate that again, we're honored. I'm honored.
Absolutely.
I am flattered. Absolutely flattered. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. So at the end of the day, someone turns to you, you're not in HR. You don't know the ins and outs of this.
So okay,
it's coming down to the haves and have nots here. The haves.
No, wait a minute. It depends who you're talking to.
The haves have that post nominal, and they're accredited for everything in the world, and they know Johnny and Susie, and they've been to every conference, and they got their pictures, and yeah.
but look, JC. Let me ask you this. Well, you know what? I'm not going to ask.
This isn't about me either. I'm using me as a pinata.
I've had
12 people talk to me about all of this stuff over the past 2 weeks. It's a big deal for some people right now.
But here's the thing, JC. All right. Let's say you and I were together in the same office.
God, that would be terrible.
It really would. We really would get no work done. It'd be loud, a lot of cursing,
bite your tongue on that, because we used to work together and we would do it again in a heartbeat and it'd be better than anyone else. That's
what I'm telling you. A lot of cussing, a lot of drinking, a lot of blowing shit up. I remember the last time we were together.
It wasn't a lot of cussing all the time. Not when we were actually working.
In the Marine Corps? Are you serious?
You go ahead and tell me that you were calling for fire from up on the hill and you're punching out numbers the way that you were doing, swearing in between the numbers. If you're dropping an F-bomb in grid coordinates, it ain't going to fly. You never swore dropping grid coordinates.
I know, but I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, no, I know.
I did call somebody. Yeah. I'm not going to say it. No. Yeah, that's a whole different story. But something did happen.
Tread lightly. Let's pull back a little bit.
Well, I was about to prove you wrong, but I'm not going to prove you wrong by revealing that other stuff that happened. So okay, there it is. We're done. Good. We're done. Okay. No, but here's the thing. Let's say you and I did work together, right? But here's the thing.
But we did. You can't say. Let's say we did.
Good Lord have mercy. Did. Listen to what I'm telling you. Listen. Shit. Holy crap. Okay. We work together. Hypothetically speaking, we have an HR office that you and I are working in, right?
Right.
With the knowledge you know right now, and somebody comes in and says, hey, Ricky, I'm being sexually harassed by this person, and I'm also being denied my FML rights by that person and this like that. So am I going to put you on that case? JC, the answer is no.
You could. Right? You could. Let's be honest. I totally could. But
here's the thing. Here's the thing, because I want to make sure that we do everything by the book, because any mistake here liability. Can land us in legal trouble.
Liability, right?
So am I going to give that to you because it's based on this podcast? The answer is going to be no. But here's what I am going to do. All right. Because I know your work ethic. I know you're always willing to learn. And you never, never, ever back down from any kind of a challenge. And I know you have an interest in this because we've been doing this podcast for almost 2 years. You've been exposed to ADEA, Title VII, and FMLA. But this is a time where this theory that you've been exploring gets to be put into application. So instead of me saying, no, JC, you're not going to handle this, I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to handle this, but come with me. I want you to see how this interaction goes. And then you just sit back, watch, write things down. We'll handle it. Once that person leaves, I'll explain why I did what I did. And if this situation ever happens again, we're still going to do it together. But guess who's going to take that lead?
Yeah,
it's going to be you.
Let's be honest about something. In the real world, okay, outside of this Pollyanna fantasy that you got going in your head, it's not going to happen like that. Do you know what they're going to do? They're going to have you go answer. They're going to have you go answer phones, go to the mailroom, go do some other stuff.
No,
you don't need to be bothered with that stuff. You know what?
That's not how I do it.
Work for the manager to do those things.
That's not how I do it. I've got somebody on my team right now who is in that very same situation. No, in that very same situation. I'm trying to get her ready for that next role.
That's awesome.
My job on my team is to make sure that the next position that comes along, they don't apply to. They get tapped on the shoulder.
Okay, so
my team will never interview.
What about the managers out there? What about the leaders out there that aren't doing that? That are pushing people back to, you know what, go get the door for the UPS guy over there or whatever it is.
See, that's bullshit, though. Somebody has to do it. I get it. But that's bullshit.
Trust me, I walked in the front door of your office. I know where the UPS guy turns and goes.
I know you have. I know.
There's only so many people that could do it.
For any manager out there that does not do what needs to be done to get your people to the next level, this is for you. Because I'm not going to speak for you. I don't know you, but I'm almost willing to bet that the reason you're not willing to train those folks is because you're afraid that they might take your job or if they're afraid that they might excel better than you. Guess what? That's my goal. No, that is my goal. I want my employees to take my job. And if my employees go somewhere else and they get promoted to do better than me, shit, I had a hand in that.
I'll
be proud of them.
That's right.
I will be proud of them. So who am I? Why am I going to hold them back because of my ego, because of my self-esteem? I'm comfortable in my skin.
Yeah, but there's power with control. There's power with control, right?
No. There's power in bringing everybody else up to your level and teaching them and influencing them.
What is perceived that way? There's power in control.
Yeah,
you're going to do what I say you do because I tell you to do it and I'm the boss and that's the way it is.
I've never, ever, ever had to say that to my team.
But I'll bring you cake.
Ever.
And donuts. I'm going to keep you happy.
I make sure I hire the right people. No, no. I've never said that to my team. And
I'm going to take care of you.
I'm sure they're listening. I encourage you. Call JC. Don't get me involved. Call JC. Let him know. Anytime I have pulled the iron fist and said that.
Let's do that.
I've never done that.
Let's do that.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know what? No one's going to call me.
Because I've never done that.
I know.
Because when I again,
but there's other people out there, not you.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So that's what I'm saying. Don't be afraid to teach your employees everything you know, and don't be afraid to give them the spotlight. You've got it already. Stop hogging it up. Give them that opportunity.
Okay. All right. You gave them opportunity. You gave them power in their heart, in their mind. You've lifted them up. You raised them up. You are the wind beneath their wings.
Oh, Lord.
And now you're going to Disney for an extra 3 days. You just call it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. For someone else, it's an actual vacation. So you're away. You're gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now the power and control, there's a shift, right? There's a shift.
No.
They are not going to do anything without you.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If I leave, if I'm on vacation for a week and my team just falls apart, I failed. I failed as a leader because
why
my
do you
job
say that?
Is to, because it's now I know that's
we all
some
know
leaders.
Why. It's cliche. Why are you saying it?
No, well, I'm telling you because it's me. I'm more worried about the success of my team individually, right? I want to make sure I always tell, and you've heard me say this, JC, I'm always focusing on the H and HR.
Yeah.
Whether that H is in the organization or outside of the org, I don't care. I focus on the person. If you focus on the person, that person will move mountains for you. And I've never had to bring out the iron fist. And with that said, I always give my team the flexibility to make their own choices, the flexibility to take calculated risk. That way they learn. That's the best way they learn. If they got some scraped knees, they know what to do so they don't scrape their knees again. But when I go on vacation, I have no problem knowing that my team got it. And whenever I come back, to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails that I'm copied on, and I'm proud because my team is knocking it out of the park. This person did that. This person did this. This person did this. This person did that. If I see all that right. My team's starting to fail, and any time when I was gone, I'm going to need to have a conversation back with them to figure out what I can do to bring them back up.
But wait. You're going to reach a point, though, where they not you in particular, but in other people in the same scenarios, mm-hmm. You're going to reach a point where they may sit back and say, what the hell is he doing anyways? I'm doing his whole freaking job.
No. No, not my team, at least. Not my team, at least. Because I coach them. I guide them. And when I'm not there, all that practice, while I'm there, it's practice for them.
HR right? Squad. Hang on. HR squad, Omaha, 45-15, no. Omaha.
That's stupid.
That's what you do. You're coaching them, right?
No.
They all
I
get online, they formation, coach, you
not,
drop
no.
back to pass.
I do not. I coach them to wherever they want to go
W-2's
in their career.
W-2's going deep. W-2's going
no,
deep. Right
ain't
side,
no,
post,
ain't
post.
No football, right. Omaha, please. No, but once I leave, they get to put that in play. But I don't have to wait. I don't have to leave for that to happen, JC, because even if I'm going into a meeting and I've got to present some numbers and some forecasts, I'm not the one that actually goes out and do it. I stay behind the scenes and I guide my team so they can do it. That way they're comfortable speaking in front of people and they're doing it while I'm there. That way when I'm not there, it's not new to them. They already know what needs to happen. Whereas other organizations, they keep the employees far and far away from connecting with the higher executives. I don't understand why that happens. Give them the FaceTime. Give them the opportunity to be in front of the big wigs. Share that spotlight.
Yeah, but then when they start sharing that spotlight and then things are going good and there's good connections happening all around, and then a little bit of jealousy chimes in, and then they cut you off or cut you out of the mix, or they eliminate that process or program so it doesn't happen anymore like that. Yeah.
That happens to assholes.
Your frozen middle starts to get upset.
That happens to assholes. What did you do to that person that they no longer care about you as a leader?
What happened to them behind the scenes?
Well, that's what I'm saying, you got to know
the senior leader a little bit more.
So if you nurture, it doesn't matter that way, because if you nurture your employees,
yes,
and you take care of them,
yes,
they will take care of you, JC. They have an unwritten loyalty.
I'm not saying they won't. I'm just questioning why that many times that turns sour.
Well, that's the thing. Part of that is respect, right? So when they build that relationship, I don't care if you got to have respect, but if my direct reports, I don't care if they have a good relationship with my boss. I encourage that.
A guerrilla relationship?
They have a good relationship.
Sorry.
What did you think I said?
I thought you said guerrilla relationship. I was like, what are you talking about? Look, this is really bad sometimes because I have bad hearing, and you've got that, like, you roll your R's sometimes, you know?
I mean, I am Puerto Rican.
That doesn't mean that you wouldn't know how to roll your R's or would know how to roll your R's. Don't put that on yourself.
It means that I do roll my R's.
Do you roll your
R's? Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, there's that accent. That accent again.
Puerto Rico.
No, but look, here is the message to the managers out there. Give your employees the opportunity to shine. If they have a talent that you hire them, bring them on, get out of their way, let them do their thing. If they bring something new to the team that the team didn't have before, celebrate it. Encourage it. Let them do it. And if they outshine you, let them outshine you. You've done a great job. You're good. So that is my advice to all the managers out there. I asked you a half hour ago
what you thought about something, and now it's a half hour later. I love when that happens.
Yeah, because you got me all riled up, man.
I love that.
That's messed up.
I love it.
Whatever, dude.
I do.
Shut up.
But I want you to de-stress.
We talked an hour about clowns and freaking horses. So shut up.
All right, wrap it up, man. I gave you everything that you wanted today.
I gave you everything that you wanted today.
I gave you the
clowns. I got rice and beans waiting for me downstairs.
I gave you all of it. What are some of the best ways people could find us?
I got Mofongo waiting for me downstairs. You can call us at 407-501-8425. Folks, feel free to text us. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about this show. If you have any ideas of the show, if you have any stories that you want us to talk about, we're not going to mention your name at all. We are on Twitter, Facebook. We are on Instagram. But folks, please do us a favor. What's really going to help us out? JC doesn't take any money. I don't take any money. We definitely don't pay the face of the franchise. But what's really going to help us out?
We learned the hard way about that in the beginning.
Man, no. But what's really going to help us out is if you share this podcast, give us a review on iTunes, on Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. We'll really appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ricky, I'm JC. Do me a favor. Drive safe. Have a good night. Today, was September 19th, 2019. I enjoyed that whole 9-19-19 thing earlier when it was 9-19-19.
You had to look it up.
It was crazy.
You had to look it up, didn't you? Yeah.
No, it was 9-19-19 earlier on 9-19-19.
I know, but
this only happens so often, you know?
Like today.